All right, are we ready for God's Word this morning? All right, let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy, this morning I'm going to have a standalone message. It's not a series, it's not the beginning of anything new, but it's a standalone message that I'm entitling Smokescreen. All right, and what I mean by a smokescreen, and Gene could probably help me with this, in the military, some armies create a smokescreen on purpose, right, Gene? Through hand grenades or tanks to deceive so that they can the enemy can use misdirection for an attack, right? Very well said. I knew I could count on you, Mr. Encyclopedia. Timothy chapter 2. Let's begin reading with verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Notice verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. All right, let's go ahead and read verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. All right, so what is Paul the Apostle saying here to young Timothy, his son in the faith? He is saying that we are soldiers in God's army. You know, I don't know how that little song goes. I may not be a part of the infantry. How does that go? Infantry, cavalry, but I'm a part of the Lord's. Okay. Thank you. I get the point. I don't know that. I never learned that as a kid in camp. They didn't teach that in Catholic school, but it's all good. So anyway, we are in the Lord's army. How many of y'all believe that you are a soldier in God's army? Now, realistically speaking, how often do you think of yourself as a soldier in God's army? Every day. I'm glad you do, brother. I've got to admit, I don't think of myself as a soldier often until the enemy launches an attack. And then all of a sudden, that realization comes crashing in at the forefront of my mind. And then I'm realizing, whoa, we are at war. This is not peacetime. We are at war when the enemy parks a missile at our doorstep, and it's a humdinger. How many of y'all know that there are little scuffles that we have with the enemy? Those are just maybe momentary. Those might be light. And then there are, you know, little skirmishes, but then there is all-out attack by the enemy on us. How many of y'all experience all three? The scuffles, the skirmishes, and then the all-out attack. Amen to that, right? And then that third one is what brings us to the full realization that we are at war with the spiritual forces of this dark world. Amen? All right, turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to give you a lot of verses this morning. And so we have to be careful when the attacks come. The one upshot of the attacks is that it reminds us that we are at war. Now, there are times in the life of the believer where we experience peacetime. How many of y'all love experiencing being in a good place in life? Can I see a show of hands? Thank you. You know, like everything, you're sailing, well, not sailing, but you're boating on Lake Placid. Isn't that great when there are no waves, when it is just calm and tranquil, and life is good, and life is going your way? You know, I could say that I'm in a good place in life right now, and I pray that many of you, if not all of you, are in a good place in life. But how many of y'all know that that only will last for a certain time before the enemy launches an attack? So we must remember that we are soldiers, and listen, not be distracted by the affairs of this life. Right? Now, Paul the Apostle is going to break that down further because the enemy is good at using smokescreens. Ephesians chapter 6, please. Let's begin reading with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, there in verse 12, it gives you a hierarchy, a spiritual hierarchy of the forces of darkness. All right, we won't delve into that teaching this morning. Suffice it to say that the first part of that verse is often overlooked, because the first part of that verse is in fact one of the tactics of the enemy to use as a smokescreen in my life and in your life. But the devil has at times in your life tried to use people to come against you. How many of y'all found yourself engaging in fights? I won't ask for a show of hands, with people, and then in the middle of it, it dawns on you, wait, I'm not supposed to be fighting them. They're not my enemy, but the enemy has deceived me into thinking that they are my problem. Amen. How many of y'all know they could be family members? Yeah. Even better yet, how many of y'all know they could be Christians? Amen. Oh man, those are the real fun wars, aren't they? Now, I remember when I was a kid, you know, I'm living in a border town. You know, I was born in Mexico at the age of two. My parents moved from Juarez, Chihuahua to El Paso, Texas, so that my dad could establish residence in El Paso and get a working visa there. And so at the age of two, I was living in El Paso. But because we lived in El Paso, we often would go to Juarez for entertainment. What do I mean by that? How many of y'all have ever watched a bullfight in person? You have? They are entertaining, aren't they? They are unique. And so I remember, you know, and by the way, if you're a PETA person, you're just going to have to excuse my illustration here this morning. But as a little kid, I was fascinating. The first thing that caught my attention was the colorful display or array of the outfits, of the capes, of even the little pins that they put on the bull's back. They were very colorful. Mexicans are very colorful people. Right, and they talk a million miles a minute. Hard to understand them, and they're so overly expressive. Like, I'm sure you've never experienced that here at this church. But so I was there watching, and you know, even as a kid, it began to dawn on me what the bullfighter was doing with that cape. Now, I was taught as a kid that the color red was the worst color for a bull. But how many of y'all know that red is not the color? It's something that is waved in front of them that causes the bull to charge. So it's not the color, it's the cape. It's something waving in front of them. So, and often the bullfighters would have pink capes instead of red capes. So, but I noticed that with constant doing this to the bull and the bull charging it, and then stepping back, the matador would do it again, and the bull would charge it, and he would step back and do it again, and he would charge it, that it would tire out the bull eventually. Amen? And then came the little spears that they pinned on the bull's back, and then finally the sword came out. So what happened to the bull in that scenario? What did the matador do to the bull? Wore him down. How many of y'all have ever felt like the enemy wore you down with other people? That's a smokescreen, my friends. Right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But that is one of the primary distractions. That is one of the primary ways the enemy will seek to disorient us in our lives, is by using people, by using people to get to us. You know, and that's a good illustration. We have to fight these battles in prayer. Amen? We have to fight these battles in prayer. That's where they're won or they're lost, is in the spiritual realm, not with other people. Right? We wield, listen, church family, listen, Christians, we wield great authority in Christ, through Christ's name, by our position of righteousness in the sight of God through Christ, that we don't need to stoop to the manipulative tactics of other fleshly people, other worldly people who think that the wisdom of the world is all there is in dealing with others. Come on, somebody. Right? So we've got to be very careful and be on guard and remind ourselves that, yo, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Whether it's somebody trying to get our goat. Do you know where that saying, getting our goat, comes from? You know, it's used of horse racing because thoroughbreds are very high-strung horses. So what the horse managers would do the night before the horses were about to race, they would put a goat in the stall with a horse. Why? Because that goat had a calming effect on that horse. But often, unscrupulous opponents would go to that stall in the middle of the night and get the goat out of the stall, which would hyper up the thoroughbred and would cause him to lose the race or not even have a shot at winning the race the next morning. That's where we get our terminology, getting your goat. So I want to ask you, is the devil getting your goat? Sometimes trying. He works hard, doesn't it? And it removes our tranquility. It removes our peace. It removes our... How many of y'all hate drama in here? Can you say it with me? Save the drama for the mama. Say it with me. Come on, church. Save the drama for the mama. Don't come parking it right next to me. I'm not a drama guy. You know, there have been sometimes people that just wanted to fight me. You know, when I was younger, I won't even say how many years ago it was, because you might say, whoa. I would cave in every single time. Every time the devil waved the cape at me, so to speak, through other people, I would go for it. I would go. It's like it was instant failure, instant defeat, every cotton picking time. Every time I would go for it until I finally figured out, I'm a little slow. How many on the one? No, don't say don't say amen, please. Or you and I will be in prayer together. I'm a little slow at times, you know. Just because I went to seminary doesn't mean, anyway. But I begin to figure it out. You know, this is only getting me worn out. Joey, this is only wearing you out over some of the dumbest issues. How many of y'all know, church family, that the devil will never try to engage us with mind-blowing issues? You know, I believe that sometimes, listen, all churches can be susceptible to this, but thankfully not all churches go for this. The biggest issues in a lot of churches is not the big issues of outreach and winning the lost. Come on, somebody. It's always, what's the color of the carpet going to be? Yep. Why didn't you send the bulletins out this week in the mail? The devil uses the most petty issues to get God's people fired up with each other, because some of y'all know that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Amen. He knows that. Jesus said that. A house divided against itself cannot stand. We have to be very careful. Go with me to Joel, the book of Joel, the prophet. We're going to go deep into Scripture here. Old Testament. Joel chapter 2. And I want to bring light to one of the things said here. You know, I remember when we were doing the restoration teaching several months ago, and I looked up some words here, though I didn't minister on these particular words in the Hebrew language. They still resonated with me at the time. So go with me to verse 25. It says here, "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. Notice my great army which I sent among you." All right, now, if you're taking notes, write this down. The Hebrew word for army is hayil. Hayil, H-A-Y-E-E-L. Hayil. And it means this: those strong for war. How many of y'all have ever met people that live to fight? That live for the opportunity to have a nice, knock down, drag out. Man, they'll chew you up. They'll spit you out into little bitty pieces and not think twice about it in a New York minute. Can I get a witness? Anybody know people like that? They are fighters. They are mean. They're meaner than, as Jim Croce used to sing, than a junkyard dog. Worse than Leroy Brown, right, Brother Lau? And they live to fight. And my friends, the devil would love to just sick some of those suckers on you. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was running on a country road just north of here, and I was minding my own business. I was in mile three. I was out for a 10-mile run, and this dog came charging at me, and it started nipping at my heel, so I stopped, and I told it to stop, and it just lunged at me and bit me. And I thought, man, I wanted to... By that time, the dog owner, which was... So he didn't care. You know, I went to talk to him afterwards because I saw the blood dried down my leg, and he didn't care. And I'm like thinking, but that dog was a mean dog. It bit me. The other day, just yesterday, I was out for a quick run, and there was this big dog, beautiful, and he was friendly. He was licking my hand and let me pet him while I'm running. You know, he was a good dog. There are mean people. There are mean dogs out there. How many of you know that? Do you know that the words "beware of dogs" is found in the book of Philippians? Those exact words referring to mean people, attacking people. You know, I've learned the joy of not giving mean people the satisfaction of them rattling me. How many of y'all know there's a real joy in that? And this is maybe terrible to admit, but to me, it's kind of become fun now. Because they want to fight. And I'm like, yo, baby, I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter. You know, how many of y'all remember that commercial of Chef Boyardee? Yummy, yummy. And these two guys begin to fight. Beefaroni, beef spaghetti, beefaroni. You don't remember that? And no. I want to fight. I want to sing. You don't remember that? You do remember that. So I'm not making it up, right, Scott? Yeah, so I'm not the guy that says I want to fight. I'm the guy that says I want to sing. I've got videos on Facebook to prove it, right, Miss Dawn?
Scroll on by.
What's that? I won't. You'd be surprised the amount of people that tune in. Maybe it's entertainment. All right. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So far, so good, everybody? Let's land this plane. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So then what do I do? Listen, my friends, I've got to go to prayer. If someone's trying to get my goat, if someone's trying to steal my peace of mind, if someone's trying to rattle my cage, come on, somebody. Or as they say in the deep, dark woods of Kentucky, if someone's trying to josh your taters, yeah. Right? Man, we have to learn how not to engage those people. It's a waste of energy. It's a waste of time. They're out to wear us down. The enemy doesn't want us to be effective in our witness. The enemy wants to wear us down with some of the stupidest issues, some of the dumbest fights. How many of y'all, without raising a hand here, would you agree with me that a fight with your spouse, a verbal fight with your spouse, was not over major things, but over some of the dumbest things? I remember when I was married, I remember some of the humdingers that we had was arguing over favorite vacation spots. We had never been to that part of the world, but we were fighting, arguing over where we would go. And I'm thinking, really? Number one, we couldn't afford it at the time. So why are we fighting about Ireland over China, you know, at that time? So anyway... But it happens. Now, there are people strong for war. Listen, my friends, before we read the last verses, I want to tell you that peace in your life is a place of power. Peace is a place of power. If you always want to maintain power in the midst of conflict, always be in peace with other people. Don't let them suck you in. to their vortex of drama, to their vortex of conflict, to their vortex of raw emotion. Listen, just diffuse the situation. Just pull the plug and disengage. And you know, many times I've had to tell some people, I'm not going to engage you in this kind of conversation. I'm not. And I won't. And they think that by getting angrier at me for not engaging them, that that's going to suck me in. I mean, now, baby, it's at the point of being comical. I'm not going to fight. How many of y'all know that Jesus did not defend himself when he was riled upon and accusations were leveled against him? What did Jesus do? He said nothing. Right?
The only time he ever got riled up was when he cleaned it.
He did. He ain't done stop cleaning church houses, right, Brother Lyle? But anyway, so, okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So remember, peace is a place of power. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Notice this next phrase. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air or is aimless. Notice those words. I fight not as one who beats the air. Did you know that in the world of boxing, that boxers who are just flailing their arms, not strategically, but are just throwing punches, will punch themselves weary? You know that, right, Gene? Because they're not landing. They're not throwing punches to connect. They're just out there doing this. And my friends, I think that that's a good visual for some of us. That we can be like this, we can be like a fighter. It's used as a metaphor. We're just throwing punches aimlessly, not with the purpose of hitting anything, not with the purpose of connecting effectively with the enemy, but we're just doing this and we're tiring ourselves out. Right? And then what? Then when we're weary, then we're what? Slim pickings for the enemy. Easy pickings. Right? So I want to encourage this church family, don't let the devil use a smoke screen on us, especially with people, especially with those who want to fight us. Listen, just leave well enough alone and let the Lord deal with it. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for this time in the Word, Lord. Thank you for this time of church and worship. We honor you, God. Father, we worship you in the midst of this wonderful, beautiful church family. Lord God, I pray for others who were not able to come, Lord, or chose not to come. And we respect that ever so much, Lord, in you. Father, we pray for their protection. We pray for everybody's protection here, Lord. Father, watch over us. And we thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.